she said, my little girl has just asked me why people hate us. So I said, well, pick your little girl up. So she did. And I said to the little girl, I've come on an aeroplane just to tell you that you're loved. And I said to the mother, can I hug you? And she said, yes. And I put my arms around the mother, and the little girl was in her arms. And that mother just hugged and hugged and hugged me. And I looked at the little girl and I said, remember that hug. Whenever you walk down the street, remember that hug. You are loved. And Jake, we're hearing stories after stories and stories. 100% of the people that we have told, we're here to let you know you're not alone. Their hearts immediately open.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got a pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
Our nation's capital has just been...
To turn a nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19 numbers.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
Welcome back to Stand Firm Parents. I'm Jake McCandless, and I'm coming to you from LifeWord Studios. How about we do some traveling today? Let's go to Israel. Yes, wartime Israel. In the previous episode, I talked about just how important and impactful the question of Israel is on our children and their faith lasting. It's vital. I hope that you caught that episode. If you haven't, please check it out. But I wanted to go to Israel and have a look at what's happening on the ground. It's one thing to know it, as I dealt with, like, on an intellectual level, doctrine level in the last conversation, but the humanity of what's happening on the ground, I think it's important to look at. A couple episodes back, I had my good friends, Daphne Kirk, Andrew Kirk of Generation to Generation, on, and we talked about discipleship. And at that time, they were in Israel, recorded that from Israel. But I wanted to make sure we had a conversation about Israel itself and what's going on and what they were seeing. I didn't want to miss that opportunity. They are on their third trip since the 10/7 attacks. I had the chance to go with them on the first one in February as things begin to open up. But I wanted them to just give us a sense of what's happening on the ground. And this is turning out to be the second episode of what likely is going to be 4 episodes about Israel. This is something I plan to talk about down the road. I wanted to jump into this new season talking about discipleship and the role of parents, and we wanted to look at, you know, what that looks like. And as we talked about telling our kids the larger story, I wanted to bring Israel in. I'm sure we will talk about this more. But as I worked on that previous episode, I realized this is an important issue. So the plan is, you've got one, working on the second one right here. I have an incredible guest coming up, Charlotte Korchak of Stand With Israel. She's incredible. She's going to talk about just what the reality is in the emerging generation in regards to Israel in this current conflict. And then I'm hoping to have the most special guest is to have my daughters in and talk about how their life has been impacted by Israel. But let's go on the ground. Let's hear from Andrew and Daphne as they're working in Israel right now. I have a bio right here, but there's no need to give an introduction on this show as they're appearing for the third time on Stand Firm Parents. Yeah, we're only like 25 episodes in and they've made 3 appearances. But my good friends, Daphne Kirk, Andrew Kirk of the ministry Generation to Generation, currently in Israel now. Again, they've taken at least 3 trips to Israel since the 10/7 attacks. I've had the chance to be with them after the 10/7 attacks and beforehand in Israel, but I wanted them to give us a sense of just what's going on. We've already paused and tried to listen and see if it was rocket sirens or not. I know you're going to go back and go back and go back as long as you can. Why? Why are you there?
Yeah, well, we're here to show solidarity, number one, with the Jewish people, with the nation of Israel, and two, as God says in Isaiah 40, verse 1, says to comfort my people. So we're here to do those 2 things, show solidarity and try and comfort them. And it's been interesting as we talk to people on the streets and we engage with people, a lot of them have used those very words and said, it has been a comfort to me talking to you and knowing that you're here standing with us, echoing those words that God used himself.
And it's true. I mean, I saw that in February. Every conversation meant so much. Just being there and seeing how much that impacted others. Now, trips to Israel, as we've already said, it's nothing new for you guys, nor is the conflict in Gaza. Can you give us some of the history of your work in Israel, especially that regarding Gaza?
Yeah, we've been bringing groups out here for almost 15 years now, every year, but sometimes we're here two or three times a year. And a lot of it has been really doing those biblical sites, seeing where Jesus was, the locations that are important biblically. But we, for a number of years, have really sprinkled in current event issues because not enough churches deal with Israel biblically. It's an issue which I guess has become too controversial and people don't address it. But there are some, but next to no churches deal with current event issues and equip believers to answer current event issues even semi-intelligently. And so we address certain issues in our tours. For example, we have someone called Colonel Danny Terza, who is the chief architect of the security barrier. And we have him talk to the group about the security barrier, about the checkpoint, so people get an understanding and can talk about those things intelligently with others when it comes up in conversations. And so that's kind of some of the history in a very brief nutshell.
And we also focus on the future,
especially
with the emerging generation that they would see in front of him where he would return. But apart from that, we do other things out here. So we've done speaking. We come out to encourage local believers. We have great relationships with many of the Orthodox communities. So spending time with them one-on-one is important to us. And my daughter, Daniela, who of course you know, she's done trauma training out here for the average person. So we will serve wherever we can. But as Andrew said, at the end of the day, we're here because we are mandated by God, all of us, to be with his people in such times as this.
You said it, but again, how long have you been going there? Because I was blown away when we went in February, just the amount of relationships you had built over the years.
15 years.
About 15 years. But I mean, this is probably a 25th, 26th time out here, something like that. So yeah, we've been coming for a long time and spent a lot of time investing in relationships. I mean, for us as a ministry generally, relationships are the foundation of everything that we do, and then building off those things. It's the same out here, but also with Jewish community around the world.
We were blown away when we came out in February because many of the Orthodox community said to us, we knew you would come when October the 7th happened. And that blew me away. It blew us away, didn't it? We thought, my goodness, when October the 7th happened, they thought the Kirks, our surname is Kirk, they thought the Kirks will come. And while that put a responsibility on us, we thought, well, that's good, but they should be saying, we knew on October the 7th the church would turn up. But sadly, it has been very lacking. Many Jewish communities coming in, but people today are more afraid of what they hear in the media, what they see on the news, which is often false, than they are of standing on the word of God. And that does fill me with some fear and trembling for the church in the future. They're not going to stand on the word of God and be obedient rather than be blown away by every wind of doctrine and what the media is saying.
One of the things that we say to people is, do you want to know what you would have done during the Holocaust?
Yeah.
And they say, yes. We say, well, what you're doing right now is what you would have done during the Holocaust. So if you're not doing anything, if you're remaining silent, or if you are going against the Jewish people in Israel, then that's what you would have done during the Holocaust, which is scary to think about people we know who are saying nothing. When in the future, if we believe things are going to get much, much worse and you're not standing now, it concerns me in terms of what they will not do in the future.
So we have to stand firm.
Yeah, thanks for another plug there.
We've got many things that we are doing here, but as a lifestyle here, we're stopping people or going up to them in coffee shops and saying, do you speak English? And if they say yes, say, well, we have come from England just to tell you you're not alone. Now, I have to be careful what I'm going to say, but the heartbreak that comes from that one young man, and he had a wife and two small children. He said, well, thank you for coming, because other people come just to RAPE us. And I'm standing in the street listening to this. And then there was a mother with a five-year-old about daughter, and she was walking along, coming up beside me. I turned, smiled, and she smiled back. I said, do you speak English? She said, yes. I said, I've come all the way from England just to tell you you're not alone. And she said, oh my goodness. She said, my little girl has just asked me why people hate us. So I said, well, pick your little girl up. So she did. And I said to the little girl, I've come on an aeroplane just to tell you that you're loved. And I said to the mother, can I hug you? And she said, yes. And I put my arms around the mother, and the little girl was in her arms. And that mother just hugged and hugged and hugged me. And I looked at the little girl and I said, remember that hug. Whenever you walk down the street, remember that hug. You are loved. And Jake, we're hearing stories after stories and stories. 100% of the people that we have told, we're here to let you know you're not alone. Their hearts immediately open. And these are the responses we hear. And what frustrates me is this whole conflict is beyond us. I mean, God has it in his hands. He's working it out prophetically. We can't do anything about that. We can lobby our Senate members or whatever, MPs in the UK. Yeah. Yes, you can lobby them, but there's nothing we can do about that. Standing up, yes. But we can come here and just tell them eye to eye they're not alone, and let them have somebody they can just open their hearts to. It is that easy. Their hearts are wide open, aren't they?
Yeah. They see the rest of the world has turned against them, and they recognize that the group of people that have, for the most part, not everyone, but for the most part, have continued to stand with them are evangelical Christians. And so they are wanting these relationships. One of our good friends said to us, we need you. She said, I am so beaten up from having to deal with all this anti-Semitism as she travels around the world. I need you to stand and take the blows for me. And so for people listening or watching this, please rise up, speak up, build friendships with the Jewish community and start taking the blows for them. Be a shield for them.
Yeah, and I think coming out here and hearing their hearts helps you understand the Jewish community around you. I look at them differently. I mean, I've supported Israel like you, Jake. Well, I've supported, no, not like you, Jake, I'm older than you, but supported Israel. I've grown up with a heart for Israel. So has Andrew. So it's nothing new, and I thought I got it. But when I came out here and I saw, and you know, there's Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, but I don't know that we're going to be taking our teams there at the minute, because they need to go and see where October the 7th happened. That is the Yad Vashem of the moment, to go and see what happened. And all I can say is it has left me heartbroken. It has left me being able to, I hope, step into the fellowship of the suffering of Jesus in this. And I have to admit, it's left me desperate when people have so many reasons why they can't come, when there's 1,000 reasons too. We've had people selling things to come out here. You can raise money in 3 weeks, do a GoFundMe or something and raise the money. But please, please, please come with us out to this place.
You really can't understand how, like you've said, the world is against, or at least Jews feel like the world are against them. And that's their, in Israel especially, but I mean, around the world. And I don't think we understand that, but that's no doubt the feeling that would have happened in the Holocaust. And I think maybe if you're watching, listening, it's like, well, you know, what is a hug? What is just telling somebody that you're there for them? We just had a tornado come through my area and people have lost everything. And I've seen, if you just show up, how much it means. And I mean, that's the same thing that's happening around the world, especially, you know, with Israel, with what's going on.
Yeah, if you think, like, if you're at home and you're thirsty and you can go to a tap and turn it on and drink as much as you like, you know, it's like, I don't really have a need for the water. I've got as much as I want of an abundance of it. But when you're in a desert, one drop of water is the world to you.
Or
a tornado. And so for the Jewish people, it feels like they're in a desert, just a desolate place, abandoned. And so those few words are like a drop of water for someone living in a desert. It means everything.
So can I give some ideas, Jake, of what to do? First of all, come here. But where you live, can I give some ideas of what to do to reach the community?
Yes, please do.
Find synagogues in your area and message or post a card of encouragement to them. If you're a church leader, get every member of your congregation, children, adults, whatever, all in separate envelopes, give them some guidelines of scriptures to use and guidelines of what to say, and flood the synagogues with encouragement cards. There's one. Google and find out which coffee shops in your area sell kosher. Forget Starbucks. Go and sit in those coffee shops and work or use that place. And you will see Jewish people come in and do what we did. Just go up to them. Please don't start preaching at them. It's not what they need at the minute. Please, please, please. It will hurt them terribly because they've got that history with us. But just go up to them and say, excuse me, I just want to tell you that you're not alone. That's all it needs. Just go to them. If there's universities or anything near you, find the Jewish Union. Reach out to them. Tell them again they're not alone, and to message you if you can help in any way. So there's many ways like that you can do right where you are. And just do it. Just be creative. Be creative, be wise, be cautious, and at the same time, be bold.
So much more.
And I would add, yeah. Don't listen to the media. Don't listen to the reporting. Start off by disbelieving it and working from there. Do not believe it. Find safe places, not there.
I can't thank you enough for really motivating our family to go, for your example, and I hope many will follow suit with that. Of course, this is airing in September, and so your July trip has already passed, but I know you'll have more coming, and I'll give the website. There'll be a link in the notes where someone can follow, and they can have the opportunity to go. But the need is there. Daphne, Andrew, thank you so much for what you're doing. And thank you so much for sharing with us.
Yeah, thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Jake.
We appreciate you.
Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you.
I hate putting a time limit on any interview, especially this one coming from Israel, hearing what's going on the ground. As you can tell, I have a great heart for Israel. I feel it's part of what I'm doing with Stand Firm Parents, with Stand Firm. I mean, if you look at our site, our logo is an olive tree connecting back with Israel. Our colors are meant to match the Sea of Galilee and the olive tree and the olive branch, because it's something very dear to my heart, and I hope it becomes something that's very dear to your heart. Unfortunately, you missed the latest trip to go with the Kirks, but there will be more coming, and that's something, if you follow Stand Firm Ministries, we'll keep you informed about opportunities to go and show solidarity and show support, and see some of these biblical sites, planning as well next summer to be partnering with them and inviting you to go with us and go to Israel to show, again, solidarity and support. Again, I can't thank Daphne and Andrew enough for their work and for taking the time to hop on with us. You can learn more about them at G2GMandate.org. Again, it's generation to generation at G2GMandate.org. Also, check out their video series on Israel and Gaza called The Quest for Truth. You can find that on their website under Quest for Truth. Just an incredible, way ahead of its time as it dealt with the conflict that we saw unfold on 10/7 and continuing between Gaza the West Bank, in Israel. Parents, we've got to give our children the larger story. They're in it. The news is telling them. Peers are telling them. Let's make sure we're giving them a biblical foundation, telling them the whole story. And part of that is a biblical foundation for Israel. You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios. Recorded in LifeWord Studios. Created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.